Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Spranger et al. Titled, Exaggerated Coronary Vasoconstriction Limits Muscle Metaboreflex-Induced Increases in Ventricular Performance in Hypertension. This article published online October 21st, 2016. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, Lead Author Donald O'Leary, and Content Expert David Stepp. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. First, let me congratulate you, Donald, on this excellent study. This is a real technical tour de force, and personally, having done these kinds of whole animal integrative experiments myself, I can attest to how labor-intensive and how technically challenging these animal experiments are. So it's a real team effort, and I congratulate you again. So to set the stage, it's been known for a very long time that in order to deliver more oxygen to the myocardium during exercise, coronary blood flow has to increase since the heart extracts between 50 and 80% of arterial oxygen, even at rest. So we kind of wind up with a state of relative ischemia when oxygen demands outstrip supply. Therefore, this study is highly relevant to understanding the regulation of coronary blood flow during exercise, especially in cardiovascular disease states, in this particular case, hypertension. So, Donald, can you give us a sense of why you carried out this study, some of the background, a little bit on the methodology used, and what you found?
Well, thank you, Irv. Thank you for those kind words. I'd first like to recognize the team. The lead author, Marty Spranger, this was the last paper of his PhD dissertation. The second author, Dr. Carr, was also intimately involved in performing these studies. And this all started with my good friend and colleague, Javier Salamercado, and he first developed this preparation. We also had a number of individuals, Abby, Rania, Alberto, Tiago, and Bob Augustiniak. These are the individuals who did all the heavy lifting that allows us to do these studies. Now, for a number of years, we've been interested in the relationships between coronary blood flow and ventricular function during exercise, especially during metaboreflex activation. So muscle metaboreflex is perhaps one of the strongest cardiovascular reflexes in the body, capable of eliciting enormous increases in arterial blood pressure. But unlike other cardiovascular reflexes, such as the barrel reflex that works primarily by eliciting peripheral vasoconstriction, the muscle metaboreflex works primarily by raising cardiac output. There can be large increases in cardiac output, thereby providing an increase in total systemic blood flow to try to relieve or increase the oxygen delivery to the skeletal muscle, which is being underperfused. A number of years ago, we wanted to look at the regulation of coronary blood flow during metaboreflex activation, and to our surprise, we found that with metaboreflex activation, while there was an enormous increase in the work done by the heart, a large increase in ventricular contractility, enormous increases in cardiac output, little if any coronary vasodilation occurred. So we reasoned that with the large increase in sympathetic activity to the heart, which caused the increase in contractility and increase in myocardial work, which tend to promote marked increase in coronary vasodilation via the increased metabolism, this increase in sympathetic activity actually restrained this vasodilation by activating alpha-adrenergic receptors on the vascular smooth muscle. And so if we can block this increase in vasoconstrictor action of the increase in sympathetic activity, we could increase coronary blood flow and then potentially increase ventricular work. So we instrumented the animal to measure a variety of cardiovascular function, cardiac output, regional blood flows, performed all the experiments on the animals in the normal state, and then induced the hypertension via partial reduction in renal blood flow to one kidney. After about 30 days or so of sustained systemic hypertension, where mean arterial pressure would be up around 150 millimeters of mercury, we then repeated the experiments in the same animal. So each animal served as its own control. We found that in the normal animal, metaboreflex activation, large increases in cardiac output, and these could be increased even further if we did alpha receptor blockade, causing even greater increases in coronary blood flow, increases in ventricular function. And the hypertensive animals, we saw that the ability to raise cardiac output was severely reduced. The ability to increase coronary blood flow was markedly restrained. However, after alpha blockade, all of these responses returned back towards normal. There have been now robust increases in coronary blood flow, allowing increases in cardiac output. So we concluded that there is a heightened coronary vasoconstriction and hypertension, and this leads to an impaired ability to raise ventricular function.
David, can you comment on how this particular reflex may participate both in the pathogenesis of hypertension and the response to hypertension?
Donald, congratulations on a very elegant study. Like Irv, I also cut my teeth on doing intact dog experiments in the FIGO lab, and I can appreciate the complexity and the elegance of what you've done. When we think about hypertension, a lot of the current therapy is actually focused on just getting the pressure down. Diuretics, for instance, simply unload the fluid. And when you're thinking about the impact, the end-organ damage that occurs in cardiovascular diseases like hypertension, you really need to understand the things governing perfusion. What I thought was particularly interesting in this study is that Donald's group has characterized that a mechanism by which whatever is causing hypertension in these animals, let's say you have this elevation in this reflex, is limiting coronary perfusion. So when he blocks the response, he gets a massive increase in DPTT, an index of improved cardiac work. And so it suggests that in diseases where there's whatever causes, like obesity, that causes heightened sympathoactivation, you're actually limiting perfusion on top of the hypertension. So my impression would be, if you simply focus on lowering blood pressure, you could actually make the outcomes of end-organ damage worse. If you have a higher level of constriction caused by activation of this reflex, perfusion is a function of pressure and resistance. If resistance stays elevated and pressure falls, then flow will be reduced. So I think this really underscores how important it is to consider some of the actual mechanisms that are driving hypertension and what the effects of those mechanisms are on perfusion, rather than simply therapeutically just trying to get the pressure down.
Thanks, David. Donald, you want to respond to that?
I would agree completely, David. Thank you. I think it's important to look at the individual mechanisms of the pressor response, and that here, even in the normal animal, we don't see much vasodilation, and all of the increase in coronary blood flow, which we do see with metaboreflex activation, it occurs via the large rise in arterial blood pressure, forcing more flow through these blood vessels, which really haven't dilated much. Blood pressure is being raised because in the normal animal, there is the ability to raise cardiac output, which then increases the perfusion pressure. When we see in the pathophysiological states, such as hypertension or in a previous study we performed in heart failure, where the ability to raise cardiac output is now attenuated, blood pressure is not rising, we're not getting the increase in blood flow, and therefore it's a positive feedback, vicious cycle scenario where the inability to raise coronary blood flow decreases the ability to raise ventricular work, decreases ability to raise cardiac output, decreases ability to raise pressure, which decreases the ability to raise flow. If we can interrupt this vicious cycle to relieve the vasoconstriction, allowing the increase in flow, then everything can quiet down as we now are able to increase ventricular function and able to increase coronary blood flow.
Donald, do you want to comment on the role that the mediator, the ostensible mediator of the hypertension is playing, that is angiotensin? Your gallbladder kidney undoubtedly increases renin release and circulating angiotensin. Does that change the sensitivity of the coronary vasculature to any sympathoexcitatory response?
Indeed, that could. In looking through the literature with this model of hypertension in the canines, the initial hypertension is indeed a renin angiotensin-based, but then over time, in a fairly short period of time, well within the time frame of this study, renin levels tend to go back down towards normal, and the hypertension is sustained through a chronic elevation in sympathetic activity.
David, any other comments, questions?
So one thing that I'm interested in is the role of adrenergic tone in the coronary circulation. As I'm sure you know, Donald, in the coronary circulation, beta receptors outnumber alpha receptors by about 4-1. And there's evidence from the work of Daphne Merkus and David DeFilly and Bill Chilian that The actual antinergic constriction in the coronary circulation is indirect. It releases perhaps antinergic stimulation of cardiac myocytes release endothelin, and the endothelin carries the bulk of this antinergic constrictor phenomenon that you see in vivo that is so poorly identified in vitro. Do you have any evidence that activation of the cardiac myocytes might be vasoactive in response to the metabolic baroreflex?
And looking at the literature, it's clear that the role of endothelin becomes larger as the size of the blood vessels gets smaller, especially down to the very small arterioles. My understanding is it appears that endothelin has a bigger effect. Previous studies have shown that infusion of an endothelial blocker does raise coronary blood flow at rest. However, my understanding of the effect of the endothelin blockade tends to wane as exercise workload gets larger. So with a higher exercise workload, this would be a situation where we would expect more neurogenic coronary vasoconstriction, as shown by Eric Feigl and Patty Gwirtz and so forth. But it appears that the endothelin blockade has a lesser effect here. So I think there's still certainly some work to do looking at the role of endothelin in cardiovascular control during exercise, especially during metaboreflex activation, when we get such large changes in sympathetic activity of the heart. And furthermore, how the endothelin mechanisms may be different in the coronary circulation and hypertension, I think is not well understood at all.
Donald, would you comment on whether what you've observed here represents kind of a positive feedback effect so that the coronary vasoconstriction contributes to the resulting hypertension and so on?
Thank you, Irv. Yes, I think this may indeed be possible, as with exercise, metaboreflex activation, we get frank vasoconstriction of the coronary vasculature. This would exacerbate potential coronary hypoperfusion, thereby further activating cardiac sympathetic afference, which would then lead to an even greater increase in sympathetic activity. So that reflexes arising from the skeletal muscle, vasoconstricting the heart, activate afference within the heart, causing even further increases in sympathetic activity, which may actually then go back to the muscle constricting there. So we have loops within loops, probably all participating in this vicious cycle scenario.
Thus, the importance of integrative physiology. Thank you very much, Donald. This has been a very fascinating discussion. A great piece of work, Donald. Again, I want to thank both of you for taking the time out to discuss it with our listeners.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.